Welcome to All Well Stands Radio Show. I'm your host, Tim Metzger from Rapid City, South Dakota. You can visit the website at www.allwillstand.org. If you have any questions, feel free to email me at tim@allwillstand.org. Today we are going to be going over the story of David and Goliath. Something that was always one of my favorites and still is, from the time I heard it when I was in Sunday school as a young lad to now going on 50. I still absolutely believe that this story is just full of learning. I mean, it's just something that you can still learn from. But we're going to go over it. This is a Back to the Basics radio program. So, as well as a reminder that every single podcast for this Back to the Basics that has been aired over Africa is available up on the website at allwellstand.org. Just click on podcasts and you can listen to them all. If you want to catch next week's, it'll be up there by the time you hear this aired. Okay, so in order to go over David versus Goliath, we are going to have to take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 17, and we're going to go through the entire chapter today. So now, just to set some background, what you have here is you have Saul is the very first king of Israel, and you had the Philistines are going to war against Israel, one of their neighbors. A lot like it is right now, to be honest with you. And you have David, and David is going to be king. He is considered, the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. The book of Psalms was mostly written by David. And David is a very, very special person. We are in the Back to the Basics program, but David is actually given a place where he will actually reign afterwards. He has a special place set aside for him by God. So quite interesting. And so if you like reading the Psalms, maybe you've never heard of the Psalms, but I will tell you that it is definitely well worth reading. And I absolutely love 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, just going through that. Now, starting with verse 1 in chapter 17. Now the Philistines scattered their armies together to battle, and were gathered together at Succoth, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Succoth and Issachar, and Ephes-Damim. And Saul and the men of Israel gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, with the valley between them. And a man came out from the camp of the Philistines between two armies named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was wearing a coat of mail, and the weight of his coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had armor of bronze on his legs, and a bronze gorget between his shoulders. The stock of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels. And his shield bearer went before him. And he stood out and called to the ranks of Israel, and said to them, "Why have you come out to be arrayed in battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." Okay. Well, I'll go one more verse. And the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." So you have this giant. This man, I've heard, is over 9 feet tall. He's a big man. He has big weapons. He has an armor bearer. He has armor on. He is a guy that's basically out there hollering and saying, this would be, you know, like you're on the streets and you run across, you see a car coming and you run across the big boss. And I'll tell you, to send somebody out there without God on your side and without God going to help you, you're not going to do well. There was one time when I lived in a Chicago area, and I always took this way to work, and I walked about a mile. And I had noticed that there was some new tagging, new gang had taken over. On a building, on a part of a house, you know, there was some new tagging. Well, so one day I'm walking to work, and here's this convertible car right off the sidewalk. Three big guys in there. Now, I saw them before I went down the street. I always went down the street. You know, I'm not going to pay a toll. I didn't even make that much. I'm just walking to work. Well, they're sitting in the car. So I'm just walking on the sidewalk, not looking their way. As I'm walking by, under the corner of my eye, I could see the car where these three gentlemen were sitting in was backing up and following me. Well, I didn't feel God was calling me to, place these men in order. At the time, I was quite young. I just kept on walking, and I didn't dare glance over. I know what they would say if I looked over. The car stopped. I kept on walking. Unfortunately, even though I didn't pay a toll that day or get jumped is what would have happened, I did take a different way to work. And so afterwards, so here you have these men, they're, you know, who send one guy out there? You know, they don't have AK-47s. This guy, he has large weapons. And what are you going to do? It's the same thing. I had this guy who was my boss. I was the second in command. He was the first in command at a restaurant. And you really wouldn't want to mess with him. He was Norwegian. He was ex-Navy SEAL. He could really had quite the attitude. And he was tall and huge. And he actually worked there because he had worked in the construction industry, and they kept on abusing him by having him carry the heaviest things that they could possibly find because he could do it. Well, eventually threw out his shoulder. You know, we are all human after all. Even if you're, 6'6" and 200 and some pounds and just ripped. Well, here's this guy would make my old boss. He would walk away. I guarantee it. He would walk away. If you had this guy come in that was basically 50% bigger than him, he'd walk. Now, so you have this guy and he's hollering in his valley. So what was the response of Saul, King Saul, because he was the king of Israel? What was the response of King Saul in Israel? Well, verse 11 tells us. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. I mean, who is going to go up against this guy, right? And who is going to? Well, here comes this young lad. We're going to learn about him now. Starting with verse 12. Now David was the son of an Ephraite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had eight sons. And the man was old in the days of Saul, advancing years among men. The three oldest sons of Jesse went out after Saul to the battle. And the names of his three sons who went out to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn. Next to him was Abinadab, and the third, Shammah. David was the youngest, and the three oldest had gone out after Saul. And David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near and The Philistine drew near and presented himself morning and evening 40 days. Okay, so you have this guy. I mean, this is, at a certain point, it gets ridiculous. I mean, 40 days in Israel is not sending a man out there. They have not gotten a plan. Saul cannot figure out what to do. Let's go back to David now, starting in verse 17 again. And Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this roasted grain and these 10 loaves, and run to your brothers at the camp, and carry these 10 cuts of cheese to the commander of their thousand, and see how your brothers fare, and bring back news of him. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. And David arose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as our army was going out to the battle line and shouting for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had drawn up in battle array, rank against rank. And David left the things in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army, and came and inquired after the welfare of his brothers. And as he talked with them, behold, the man came out from the ranks of the armies of the Philistines, between the two armies, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, and he spoke according to the same words, and David heard. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were very much afraid. So, we have here an absolute contrast, a very interesting little portion. And that's found in verse 23. So here comes Goliath, and he spoke according to the same words, period. And in this little tidbit there, and David heard, period. Quite interesting, because had there been a comma, it wouldn't have the same. It's as if, you know, we'll go back to the tough guy scenario. It's as if you're going around, you're in a bad neighborhood, and, you know, there's somebody, nobody's really messing with you, and you say something that you shouldn't have said, really shouldn't have said. And all of a sudden, the boss takes notice. He looks at you. He hears you. He heard you. Well, that's what it's like with David. Here's this lad. Here's this boy. And he heard. The response of Israel is they're fleeing. They're afraid. So now, you know, we'll go with verse 25. And the men of Israel said, "Have you seen this man who comes up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and make his father's house free from taxes in Israel." So, you know, perhaps, I wonder, was David's response a little bit different? Maybe he didn't run. Maybe he didn't show any sign of fear. Not sure, the Bible doesn't say. But what we do see here is it's interesting. So here come other men, and they're telling David, "Hey, have you seen this guy? He's defying Israel. And here's the rewards you get if somebody can actually kill him." Interesting. Interesting, I say, because, you know, I'm sure people would be wanting to tell any outsider who came in what had been going on. But you're telling that to somebody who's not quite of the age of being a soldier, somebody who would not be drafted for military in Israel. Which at the time, originally, and in the Old Testament is, let me see if I can find it real quick. So Numbers chapter 1 verse 3 says, "From 20 years old and above, all who are able to go to war in Israel, you and Aaron shall number them by their armies." So that was the original age of adulthood, we would say, I take note of that, you know, raising two children. I think about some girl who I knew that I employed, and she was a high school student, graduating now. She was 18, finishing up, going to go off to college, going to actually leave. And I just remember, and she went to church, and, you know, I mean, I can't say whether or not she was saved, but she definitely had, you know, definitely had some morals there. And I never met her dad. I had seen her dad, but never actually spoke to him. And anyway, he was quite strict, and I remember one time her dad and her mom left and had to go visit her uncle who was dying, and she had a party in her house. And she did wrong, and her parents came home, and she actually admitted it, and her dad said to her, he's like, "I don't believe you're responsible enough to go off to college. I believe you should stay here and go to community college for 2 years. Until you're responsible enough to go off." And she actually just submitted herself and agreed that she was not responsible enough. And in order to try to have good Christian character, she would just stay there underneath her father's house for an additional 2 years, which would be 20. And I've never forgotten that. And so, you know, it's something where, for me, if the Lord doesn't come back prior to that, definitely, you know, my kids could stay around until they're 20. Obviously, in the United States of America, they're allowed to, the second they turn 18, they can, you know, get in their car and drive off. And I wouldn't try stopping them because it is the, you know, it is their legal right. But on the other hand, after 20, you should have some responsibility and be able to do that. And I say that jokingly because knowing that, you know, things have really changed. Different topic, you know, 26 years of age for, you know, healthcare and stuff. So, you know, that's not, we go to an opposite biblical scenario there. But let's not get off track here. So, David responds to these people who are like talking to him about it. Have you heard what you get? And his response is this, starting in verse 26. And David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, "What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the ranks of a living God?" I'm going to stop right there. Exclamation point at the end of this. That's a very good question. For this guy, David, he isn't just challenging. If you think about it, he's not just challenging a man to come out from Israel. He's actually challenging God. He's defying God. David recognizes that this isn't Saul's battle. This is God's. Verse 27, and the people answered him in this manner, saying, "Thus shall it be done for the man who kills him." All right, well, you know, let's find out David's response from his family. Verse 28, now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger burned against David. And he said, "Why did you come down here, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your naughty heart, for you have come down to see the battle." And David said, "What have I done now? Was it not just words?" And he turned from him towards another and spoke the same words. And these people answered him according to the first words. And when the words which David had spoken were heard, they were reported before Saul, and he sent for him. So here you have David. He did the right thing. I mean, the presumption here is the Holy Spirit is steering him up. Obviously, we'll see that's true. David goes out there and fights Goliath. What we have here is, once again, where God leads us. Just a little tidbit in here. You're going to have, you might even have loved ones, family, who try to direct you in a different path. Honestly, not that you wouldn't check to make sure you're on the right track, but sometimes people will stand in your way, even people who love you, and that's not, you know, God's will is opposite of what they're telling you. It does happen. Now, obviously, this is not regular talk because now Saul, King Saul, has sent for this David. Verse 32. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant shall go and fight with the Philistine." So you can see here, I mean, David just goes for Saul and says, "No, I'll do it." Okay, Saul responds. And Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth. And he is a man of war from his youth." Okay. So, David is a youth. Goliath has been fighting and training, as well as huge, since he was David's age. He's a man of war since he was David's age. So, Saul, you know, says he's a parent. I mean, you're not, I'm not going to send you out there. I mean, if you're going to send, apparently the problem Saul has is he hasn't sent anyone out there. But, I mean, certainly you could look at, David wouldn't be one of the ones that you would consider. You'd be thinking, oh, I'm going to send out my top Navy SEAL. I'm going to send out my Army Ranger. I'm going to send out the best guy I have. You're not going to send out, you know, the guy who is aspiring to be in the military, not quite able to yet. But David responds. Verse 34. And David said to Saul, "Your servant was grazing his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and rescued the lamb out of its mouth. And when it arose against me, I took hold of it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing he has reproached the ranks of a living God." So let's stop there again. So what you have here is you have David. God has already been working in David's life. David has some basis for his faith. He has killed a lion and a bear. That's major. Go ahead and go up against a lion by yourself and nobody around. Now, without a gun, and we'll see. Okay, and that's some major stuff. And why is David going to be successful? Because he says in verse 36, seeing he has reproached the ranks of the living God. There's your key. Okay. Continuing on. Verse 37, moreover, David said, "Jehovah, who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and Jehovah be with you." And Saul clothed David with his garments, and he put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with body armor. And David girded his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested him. And David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them." And David took them off. Okay, so here you go. I mean, Saul agrees. Okay, God be with you. Jehovah be with you. And, well, let's get this youth ready for battle. And David cannot walk with this armor. He's not trained to use these things. So David just takes them off. Imagine what people must be thinking. "Oh, well, that was stupid. You know, here he is, all ready to go out. Obviously, it's not going to work. He's just a boy. Let him go back home and do his work at the sheep." Well, verse 40. Speaking of David, "Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, and put them in the shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine." So now he's just coming out there with a sling and a bag. And I remember when I was young, I had this friend who was incredibly smart. His name was Nate. And last I heard, he ended up being, I had spoken to him very, very briefly, probably 2008. He ended up living in California, was an engineer. Anyway, he had made one of these slings. And so I had used it. His parents would just kind of let him do these things. It was kind of pretty cool. They would just let him, you know, as long as he didn't do anything wrong, he could just experiment. I had a couple friends like this who could do some pretty wild stuff, like make stuff to burn, or in this guy, he had a whole very nice model train set in his basement. He worked on from a very young age. But anyway, this sling you would take and you would swing it around in your hand, and then you would let go of one of the ropes and you could aim it. I had tried it a couple times, this homemade one, so I've actually seen them. Not saying it was exactly the same kind that David used, but with a lot of practice, this could become quite the weapon. You would not believe it. But anyway, so here is David, and he's drawing near to the Philistine. Verse 41. And the Philistine proceeded to come near to David with the man carrying the shield before him. And when the Philistine considered and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy, and of good appearance. And the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you are coming to me of sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. Okay, there's a lot here, and I do have to finish this up, but let's go ahead and just touch base on a couple things here. One is, why is a Philistine, you know, top guy? I mean, he should just tell his armor bearer, "Hey, go away, this is like a stick coming towards me." Well, he says, "Are you coming to me with sticks?" And, you know, but he's cursing David by, Goliath's cursing David by his gods, by his pagan gods. So David responds, verse 44. or I'm sorry, verse 44, Goliath still says to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the heaven and the beasts of the field. So Goliath saying, hey, come on. Okay, I'm going to kill you. Verse 45, then David said to the Philistine, you are coming to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I am coming to you in the name of Jehovah of hosts, the God of the ranks of Israel, whom you have reproached. This is serious. Very, very serious. Continuing, verse 46, this day Jehovah will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the heavens and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that Jehovah does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is Jehovah's, and he has given you into our hands. At this point, David is acting in absolute faith. I mean, if you want to talk about faith, this is it, and this is in his youth. No wonder why he could write the Psalms. Now, I do got to finish this up, but just consider that. So, think about this. You have this guy, you want to talk about faith. I mean, you've just taken this big guy who's, I guess, going to kill you anyway, according to him, right? And you've just totally said, no, I'm going to leave your head, take off your head, your body, the birds can eat it. I mean, so, you know, you've just basically made him mad. Okay, so it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, that David hastened and ran towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. So, I do want to put that out there. That is faith. I want you to consider that. David didn't just go up to battle shaking, I believe God has my back, I believe I can do this. He ran. He hastened and ran. Okay. Verse 49, and David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword, and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their strong man was dead, they fled. And the men of Israel and Judah rose up and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the way to Shearim, even as far as Gath and Ekron. And the sons of Israel returned from hotly pursuing the Philistines and plundered their camps. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, but he put his weapons in his tent. Now when Saul saw David going out to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, the commander of the army, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, as your soul lives, O king, I do not know. So the king said, inquire whose son this young man is. So when David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, lad, whose son are you? And David answered, I am the son of your servant, Jesse the Bethlehemite. Okay, it's a great, true story that actually happened. And it is something that I think that any of us should consider when it comes to those who are actually true believers. Consider our faith. And we're not going to go over a lot of the stuff. This is the Back to the Basics program. But for you who know the Lord, or who will know the Lord, consider this story and understand that we can trust God wholeheartedly against any situation. Anything that God has us do, we can run towards it. And I'll tell you, it is a lot different to actually do that than to think to do that. But that is what God has called us to do. So anyway, if you have questions about salvation, please visit the website at allwillstand.org. Up in the upper right-hand part of the screen, or at the top of the screen, you can click on what Jesus did on the cross, or click on the salvation link on the main page. Until next week, have a great week.